The Jazz Scene Podcast gives an in-depth look at the lives and stories of the musicians performing in Columbus and beyond. Today's episode is hosted by Alex Burgoyne, Director of Production for the Jazz Arts Group of Columbus.
Welcome to the Jazz Scene Podcast. Today we have Laura Camara here. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here. Let's just get to it. Where are you from?
I am from Columbus, Ohio.
Hey.
I lived kind of all over this city. Went to elementary school in Westerville.
Right.
And then middle school and high school in the Ville, in Clintonville.
Hey.
And then I sort of moved away for college, and I was away for about 14 years and then came back in 2016.
Okay, so I want to ask some, immediately I'm excited about this time you spent away.
Okay.
So you spent time in New York?
Yeah, right? I went to Boston first.
Okay, Boston
and then
first.
I got a scholarship to go to Berklee College of Music.
Right.
And so graduated from there and then moved on to New York. Did a little stint on cruise ships in between because I needed to save money to move to New York.
Sure, as you do.
Yeah, and actually one of the things that helped me move was I competed in the Montreux Jazz Festival vocal competition.
Mm-hmm.
In 2007, and I won second place, which came with a lot of money.
Amazing.
So,
congrats.
The person who actually won first place was Cyril Ami.
Okay,
so
sure.
We used to work together when I first moved to New York. We were in a vocal group together. And then, you know, I kind of got more established there and just that sort of dissipated. And she did the Hmong competition and
sure.
took off from there.
Yeah, right. Amazing.
Yeah. So I spent about... let's see, maybe 5-6 years in New York. Really loved it. Really taught me a lot. I miss it every day.
Sure.
But I got an opportunity to make more money and work less by going and doing hotels in Southeast Asia.
Sure.
Which it's funny, like in the New York scene, everyone was like, oh, what are you doing? You're killing your career. And then, like, a year later, a bunch of other vocalists were like, you made how much money? And so they ended up doing it and financing their records. I ended up just sort of, like, needing a break
yeah.
from the hustle and the grind of New York, where I was doing, like, 3 gigs a day, some that were in Boston and having to take overnights. And I took this job in Vietnam before they opened up the visas,
okay,
which was very amazing.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you that actually leaving New York was probably the best thing I ever did, because then I went on to India after that, doing a residency in Darjeeling in the mountains in the Himalayas.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah, and then we got to travel for 2 weeks around India as part of our pay. In our package
okay.
deal after that. In between, they were going to send me home, and I said, I've got 4 days. I want to go to Bangkok. I've never been.
Yeah.
So I sent my demo around to a bunch of hotel bands, and they were all booked up for like a year and a half. And then the day that I was getting on the flight to leave India to come back to the States, one of the hotels said, hey, we had to let our singer go. Could you be here in 3 weeks?
So you're hired with the existing rhythm section? That's that kind of vibe?
Most of the time. There are some places around the world where you do have to bring a band.
Yeah.
That's a lot more complicated.
Sure.
So I'd rather actually just be able to walk in with
cool.
that existing band and then figure out how I need to adjust according to whatever it is they do.
Yeah, I can imagine, like, if you're good at that, that is a skill that's really helpful in that situation.
I think to be a professional singer, that is 90% of your job.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's not being good at what you do necessarily, but knowing how to manage personalities.
Sure.
And especially when you lead a band, that's very, very important. Like, if you know this guy is going to show up half an hour late, you tell him that the call time is 45 minutes before.
Yeah, sure.
So, I mean, there's just, it's just really part of the job of being a professional musician, and especially if you lead a band.
Was there anything culturally that, like, kind of was, that you had to make a big shift for?
You know, I'd traveled quite a bit before. I think maybe more so as a fully figured woman covering up a little bit more.
Got it. Yeah.
Because it was a little shocking for some people in Vietnam. Like, we walk around in, like, spaghetti straps, you know,
sure.
here in the States. And no, like, if you're if you're fuller figure, you cover up. And that's just kind of what they do. And that's also the misconception of Thailand as well, which I did move to Thailand for 2 years after,
right.
after that. They talk about body image, not in a negative way, like we like have sort of a negative connotation with body image here. They just say it matter-of-factly. Like, this is just what it is.
Got it.
And so that was something that was just, at first it was jarring, and then I'm like, okay, they're just like kind of stating facts about right. how you look. And frankly, like any average-sized American would be plus size for
yeah.
a lot of those shops.
I had that experience in South Korea, like, oh, I'm just twice as big as most of these people. Mm-hmm. That's just what's
happening. You're just
happening.
Tall. Yeah. You're tall right. and you're bigger boned.
Right.
And that's, yeah, I mean, anybody who buys from Amazon knows that a large is not a large.
Right.
So.
right. Yeah. So you told me a little bit, other than voice, you've studied some other instruments. What else do you play?
I started out, my parents put me in piano at like 3, and I was just 3, and I didn't want to do it.
Sure.
And now I regret it.
Sure.
But I started classical violin, Suzuki violin, when I was 6, and I stayed in that for about 10 years.
That's where your big ears come from.
I kind of like, when I improvise, it's almost more melodically like a violin.
Sure.
There's a lot of things I do with texture and straight tone and dynamics like a violin. And then my sister played drums, and I wanted to do everything my big sister did. So I took up drum set, also a little bit of electric bass. So in middle school jazz band, I wasn't good enough to make it on drum set, but I made it on electric
nice.
Bass.
Yeah.
None of these instruments do I play anymore, really.
Sure.
I don't have time. I did drumline for 4 years at Bishop Watterson concert band. I did contrabass, like the stand-up bass. So none of these would I be good at doing professionally, but I can play them.
You know, you have to imagine, like, you're a big, strong singer, at least in part because of all of that other training. Like, it's all worth it.
It helps me understand each part of the music,
totally.
Especially when I write and I arrange. I can hear exactly what I want out of these instruments because I know how they work.
Totally. Yeah, of course. You were away, and when you came back, that was like not that long ago, right? A couple of years ago?
It was actually a while ago, 2016.
Oh, pardon me.
Yeah.
You came to my attention then recently. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I came back. I met my husband in Thailand.
Okay.
He's actually from Africa. And we had to go through the whole immigration process while we were over there. There was actually a coup d'etat that happened in Bangkok in 2014, which is what like spurred us to like, okay, let's make this official and let's get out of there.
Smart move. It was
great living there, but there were times where we were worried about getting separated,
sure.
Being on two different passports. So we ended up coming here in 2016, and then surprise, you're having a baby right away. So that took me out for about 2 years.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
And then I started to gig a lot more, and then COVID hit.
Yeah.
And it's everybody's just had a couple of years of like trying to get back in the
restart.
Full swing.
Yeah, totally. Since you've been around a little while, do you have some favorite spots in Columbus that you like playing?
I love Ginger Rabbit.
Yeah.
They're doing it well. And
yeah.
I really enjoy it. I play at Adelaide's a lot.
Uh-huh.
It's a different vibe than Ginger Rabbit, but it also has its own cool little thing.
Totally.
Blue Note Jazz Cafe, I love that audience because if you're not going to bring it, they're going to let you know.
Yeah, that's
and
by
I
far
love,
the most interactive audience
and
in Thailand,
I love places like
mm-hmm.
that. It reminds me a lot of Wally's in Boston,
okay.
if you've ever been there. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, cool. Tell me about some musical influences, family, stars, Ella Fitzgerald, whoever.
So you wouldn't know it because both my parents are in law, but they started out in the arts. My mom's an amazing visual artist and she still does visual arts. Both my parents sang. My dad was very involved in bands, musical theater.
Cool.
And my mother played guitar and sang. And, my dad used to play music every Sunday morning. He would blast music and wake us up with it. And so I heard everything. I heard great classic rock, like the Guess Who and sure. Allman Brothers, and then they were really into the Pretenders. And then my dad would put on Billie Holiday and Ella Fitzgerald, and then eventually Sarah Vaughan. And I loved them not even knowing what jazz was.
Sure.
And then Swing Kids came out in like 1993.
Okay.
And my sister, it was one of the first tapes I ever had. My sister got it for me for Christmas.
Amazing.
And I fell in love with big band. And then in 1998, the swing revival happened.
Right.
And that movie, like Swingers, came out. And so I kind of got sucked in.
Perfect timing,
and then,
yeah.
Yeah, and then my grandmother's, my step-grandfather, my grandmother's husband, just gave me boxes of big band stuff. And that was like right around the start of high school. And that, so really the big band and the big band singers influenced me first. And then they moved to New Orleans, my grandmother and her husband. And so I would visit them down there and just get like immersed in the history of it. So I think that's really where...
That's like a full trajectory influence, like from every direction.
Pretty much, yeah. It just sort of like, I don't know, it clicked.
Yeah.
And I played violin at the time. And of course, like any Midwestern girl, I got into Dave Matthews Band. But that
and
was
boy.
Right? But that was my first time also seeing like the concept of improvising. And watching Boyd Tinsley on violin. Mm-hmm. And I would try to do his solos. And then I realized, why are they different every time? You know?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And then, so that's kind of what really got me into that. And then I discovered Ella Fitzgerald scatting, and it was all over.
Sure. Yeah. How could it not be?
Yeah.
Great. So what are we going to hear at this concert coming up?
Well, we are going to hear... I have so much I can feature, but I think I decided more to feature what I write and what I arrange.
Cool.
rather than just all that I can do technical skills. Because there seems to be, you know, it's funny. I get this question a lot when people hear some of my stuff and they go, oh, who helped you write that?
Yeah, sure.
As a female vocalist, I get that a lot. And I've only actually done about one, maybe two collaborations ever on writing. And it's not that I'm not open to it, but I have like a very like direct vision of what I want. So I really wanted to show the audience here in Columbus, especially since you guys focus on the educational aspect, and other vocalists and other female jazz musicians, this is possible. And like, don't be afraid to step out and step forward and show whatever it is that you have, and don't worry about people categorizing it.
Totally.
So, and ranking it, because it's so arbitrary.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so nice to hear. That's amazing. I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you.
Yeah, your writing in particular, I've been kind of knocked out by your stuff.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm hoping to feature at least maybe one. We have an album coming out, actually. I work with Jake Reed, a drummer in town.
Yeah.
We're doing an album release on April 12th at the McConnell.
This is the Duke Ellington stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's called Shades of Ellington.
Cool.
And we do, like, really some more well-known stuff, but this group, like, the way we twist and turn and wind our sort of interpretations of the familiar stuff. And then we do some stuff that is not that familiar, that usually isn't done with a vocalist. So I've like written some lyrics
cool.
for some things. So we're hopefully I'll be able to feature one of those. Jake won't be able to be there that night, but Tony Bernardi
great.
Is going to be playing piano, and he's on the record, and Bradley Mellon is on the record.
Great.
And I got Reggie Jackson.
Couldn't
drums.
Find anybody else.
I've known Reggie since I was 12 years old.
Yeah.
Because he was working the desk at Columbus Percussion when I used
sure.
to come in for my lessons.
Sure. Amazing.
And I've known Brad since I was 10. We were in Columbus Children's Choir together.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are three of my favorite musicians in town. I'm excellent.
The best.
Very much
They're
looking
so
forward
great.
To that. Yeah,
and Jake's
been...
great too.
Yeah.
I just, you know, we really hope that people can make it out on the 12th. It's going to be really special.
Cool. Very good. What's the one thing you're most excited about for this upcoming concert? Like, do you have one arrangement, one tune that you wrote that you're just like, everybody's going to die when they hear this?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I love taking 60s stuff. and like classic rock like I grew up with. And then just, I take any genre and make it what I want, make it me, basically.
Yeah.
I did a show at the American Cultural Center in Jakarta, Indonesia. I got the idea when I was in Vietnam, when I was talking to my band, who were older guys and had lived through the war there. And I was talking to them about like music from the 60s, and I was in Hanoi, which was the communist-controlled part. And I'm talking to them about some of this American music, and they had no idea who I was talking about. And I'm like, oh, right, you probably wouldn't know. And actually, in my hotel, there was a bomb shelter where, like, Joan Baez actually, hunkered down in protest of the war. So, but anyways, I did a whole show basically on American studies and showing the cultural change from the 1950s to the 1960s. And it's multimedia, doing music, video. I'm hoping to produce it at some point here in Columbus. I've never produced it in the United States. And so I did an arrangement of Scott McKenzie's San Francisco.
Okay.
And to me, that is my best one that I've written.
Cool.
Because you just would never expect it.
Cool.
So.
Right on. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I also love stealing 60s music and
me too.
Just making it the thing.
You know what? It's the same as jazz, because basically they had parties where they just jammed until 3 in the morning in the hate, you know?
Totally. Totally. Well, before I forget, where can we find you online? What's your website? Where can we listen to your stuff?
LauraCamaraMusic.com. And then on YouTube, just the handle is Laura Camara Music on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook.
Cool.
I don't do the TikTok yet because I don't have time to make useless videos all the time.
Sure.
I'll eventually get there.
Okay, right on. Yeah, you and I both. Any exciting performances coming up? You mentioned the 12th. What else you got?
I'm actually leaving for Savannah, Georgia on Saturday. I got a quarterfinalist spot in the American Traditions Vocal Competition. And I don't know if you know that Nicole Zoraitis, who just won the Grammy for Best Vocal Jazz, she won gold medal in that in 2021.
Okay.
So I'm really excited, also very nervous because I'm competing against Broadway and opera singers. So, but you have to do like 9 different genres of American music.
Oh man.
So, I'm going to be competing on Tuesday. I believe they're going to be live streaming it. You would just have to go to like ATC, Savannah.com. I think that's what it is. And they'll be live streaming the competition, but
cool.
So fingers crossed.
Yeah. Lots of luck.
Well, I'm trying to win something so then I can actually start releasing a couple of singles of my own music.
Yeah.
So that's
amazing.
The plan.
Man, we're all wishing you luck. That's
Thank
amazing.
You.
Yeah. Break legs. All of them. Thank you so much for being here and joining us on the Jazz Scene Podcast. We are looking forward so much to Longstreet Studio on March 14th, 8 p.m. The Laura Camara Quartet.
Yeah, or Laura Camara Band. It doesn't matter.
Cool. Thanks so much, Laura, for being
here. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
See you soon.
The Jazz Scene is presented by Jazz Arts Group of Columbus, America's oldest nonprofit organization dedicated to advancing the art of jazz. Our theme music is titled 3/4 Times by Michael Cox. This episode was produced and engineered by Carly Kime Law. Subscribe to The Jazz Scene wherever you get your podcasts.